Ephesians 5:22. And the title of today's sermon is Wives. It's not a very long title. Here's the text, and it's a text that I think I've been dreading a little bit, just because of the way that it's been misused and the way that certain individuals have decided that this is a way to put women in their place, so to speak. And if you have a patriarchal society that wants to find things in Scripture, this is one of the things that they try to find to say men are better than women somehow. Do you remember what last week's verse was? Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. And then this week's verse, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Interesting thing in the Greek, the word submit is not in this verse. It's implied, and I think it belongs there. I don't think that it's a misplaced understanding of Scripture as they interpreted it, but the actual Greek word that was translated submit in verse 21 is not in verse 22. So that's just a little bit of an aside. I don't think that changes what's here, but I think how we understand submit is going to make a big difference on... There's no one coming in, Doc. You're okay. It's just the wind. Yeah, how we understand submit is going to make a difference in how we live our lives out. And we talked quite a bit about that last week, just the definition. Present something to a person or a body for consideration or judgment. You're turning in a term paper. You have a proposal. You've got an application for a loan. You've submitted your paperwork. Now you're waiting for whatever happens after you submitted it. You're realizing that you don't have all power or all control. Shock. You submit it to somebody else that has a piece of that power, a piece of that control. And so when we submit to one another, we're recognizing that what I do affects you, and what you do affects me. And in the body of Christ, what we do affects each other. And so when Scripture says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, it's like, yeah, how I act is going to affect all the people around me. And how you act is going to affect all the people around you. So, you know, we do that. Another definition, voluntarily make yourself available for the benefit of others. The concept of submitting sometimes feels like, you know, somebody's trying to lord it over you. They're trying to force you to do something. If you think about it, no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He laid his own life down. He submitted himself. He deployed himself into a position of support to defend us. And when we look at it from that concept, it's like, okay, submit isn't that bad. In fact, submit is something we voluntarily choose to do, and it's something we do for the benefit of those people we love. And if you're part of the body of Christ, we love the body of Christ. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're indwelt by the Spirit, you're going to want to benefit those people around you. You're going to want to protect those individuals in the church. We want to protect Grace Community Church and John MacArthur. We want to protect others that have been under much worse persecution. And we want to do that. And protect and uphold and encourage and love and place ourselves in positions where we are okay enough to help those around us. Last week, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I mentioned that the word submit was not in that verse in Ephesians, but it's just implied there. And by the way, we're going to get to husbands, we're going to get to children and parents, and the term slaves is there. We sometimes look at it as bond servants, as people that voluntarily place themselves in slavery, and masters. All of those need to submit to one another. That's what Ephesians 5:21 says. But in case we wanted to just brush it under the rug and say, well, no, it doesn't really mean what it says, because Greek word isn't there. It is in Colossians 3:18. It really is there. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And of course, there will be advice for the husbands as well in Colossians 3:19, just like there will be for husbands much longer section coming up. We husbands don't get off the hook. In fact, if something goes wrong in a marriage, I've mentioned it oftentimes as I'm officiating at a wedding, if something goes wrong in the marriage, it's the man's fault. It just flat out is.
That's what she said.
It happens. So what I want to do today, though, is kind of go to a fun place. There's actually a wife of noble character mentioned in Scripture in a really long passage. And it's Proverbs chapter 31, and starting with verse 10. If you want to follow along in the pew Bibles, and it will be up on the screen, but page 1018 in the pew Bibles. It's kind of this whole book on wisdom. It's a wisdom text, mostly written by Solomon for his son. And his son didn't listen to it very well, if you look at the history and Scripture as well. But this section, I don't know if Solomon wrote this or someone else. There were other writings collected to put together for the book of Proverbs. But this is considered an epilogue. It's kind of the grand finish.
Solomon it's also had to say, why?
Yeah, well, if it was him, he had multiple wives and concubines, well over 1,000. A lot of that was for political reasons, trying to do alliances and things. So kind of a strange thing if it was him. And he says, a wife of noble character, who can find? It's almost like, yeah, who could find one of those? Well, I married 1,000, and there's this one. I want to tell you about her. So it might have been him, or it might have been someone else that actually had a better relationship with just one woman. We don't know, but it's here. From verses 10 through 31 is also, it's Hebrew poetry. So if we were really good Hebrew scholars, we'd be able to find the poetry there. And it's kind of like an ABC rhyme where it goes through the alphabet, and each verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So that's one of the types of poems they like to write. There's a few others in Scripture. Psalm 119 is one of those, where it takes about 8 verses that start with that letter and then goes to the next 8 verses start with the next letter, and that's why Psalm 119 is so long. Proverbs 31 and starting with verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Very valuable. Okay, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Now this is interesting, that the husband benefits from the wife of noble character. And when we put that into this concept in Ephesians of wives submit to your husbands, it's like somehow a wife that's got a noble character, a wife that's leading a life the way that she should lead it, the husband benefits from that. It's a wonderful thing. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. So she's doing something here, right? And she knows how to find the right cloth and the right fabrics and puts it together to make something beautiful. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. So there's kind of a simile there. She's like the merchant ships. They're not saying she's a merchant ship, but she's productive. Like the merchant ships, it's like, okay, wow, something special's coming from. They're waiting for that ship to come in. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. So she rises early, she provides food for the family, food for the household. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Now, this woman somehow has earnings. Okay? A lot of times when I look at what happens in certain circles in Christendom, they try to use the Ephesians passage of wives submit to your husbands and some other passages, basically saying women are supposed to stay home and do all the work in the house. And there was a time period where it was really thought that if a woman went out and got a job outside the household, something was wrong with her. Okay? They made exceptions. You know, maybe a teacher, maybe a nurse, maybe a secretary, as long as they're working under the authority and headship of some man somewhere. And there still are some flavors of Christianity that think that way and want to try to hold women down somehow and use Scripture to do it. That's not anywhere in Scripture. This woman of noble character, this wife of noble character, she's earning money, and with her money she's making investments. She's into real estate, she's into farming, agriculture, she's doing all these things. There's quite a bit in that one verse. She sets about her work vigorously, her arms are strong for her tasks. She's a doer. She stays fit. She works hard. This is not just eye candy. That's not somebody that you want to take to the company party and show off and say, hey, look who I married. Aren't I special? She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Now, she just was mentioned back in verse 15 that she gets up early and her lamp doesn't go out at night. This is a hard-working lady. Some of you women are those hard-working ladies, right? You put in long, long hours. How many of you have seen Nancy when she was still running the deli over there, be over there early and late? and Rich as well. It's like when you're running a business, you want to see that it's profitable. She sees that her trading is profitable. How does she do that? She works really hard. It's not like, hey, let's just start a business and it'll all take care of itself. Any of you that have ever run businesses, own businesses, if they're going to be successful, you have to put in some time. And she does that. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. So she's a skilled, what do they call that, Kathy, when you're weaving? I'm not good at that. It's not the weaving part necessarily. It's actually spinning wool, making yarn. Yeah, it's something that we knew a lady down at the Point Defiance Zoo and Aquarium that was very good at this. She raised llamas, and boy, some soft, wonderful yarn. But you could see her working this little thing. She's spinning this weird thing, and it's falling down. And you think, oh no, she's dropped it. No, she did that on purpose. And she's the way her hands were working, and she comes up with this yarn that's equal. And texture and diameter and everything for a whole lot of it. I thought you could only do that with machines. I think the machines had to learn from the people. And to watch her do that, and then she also worked hard with her animals because she would take them out for pack trips and she would do all kinds of things. Her name was Kit, a wonderful lady, and she really was one of these that you would think, okay, how does she know all these things? Well, she spent a lifetime learning these things and practicing them and doing them. And if you keep practicing something, you can actually get good at it. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. So she's not just thinking about her family and her household. She's not just thinking about how can I make more money, how can I have more profit, but how can I make the community a better place? Look, there's some poor people. Maybe they need some help. What can I do? Well, I've got this cloth and I have this skill. Maybe I can make them some clothing. I like to cook. Maybe we could have them for dinner. You know, so there's ways that she extends her hands to the needy. She's helping the poor. She's putting her arms around those that need help. And this is considered nobility. In Scripture, this is a wife of noble character. a valuable woman. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. You know, the best of the best for her family. And, you know, nowadays she'd probably make sure that they had Gore-Tex and they could go out and not get too wet and not sweat. And, you know, there's all kinds of things. Get that wicking material. I mean, she's picking out the yarns and stuff. Maybe she had all that figured out long before Columbia or whoever these other companies are that came up with outdoor clothing. Because she knew about snow, and she wanted to make sure her household was cared for and taken care of. I find this interesting. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Why would he get mentioned? Do you know a husband that doesn't have a noble-charactered wife can be thought less of? Do you know that husbands, what you do reflects on your wife? Wives, what you do reflects on your husband? A lot of people think highly of me because they know Kathy. They don't know me yet. And because of that, I mean, I can be respected because it's like, well, yeah, if she chose him and she's willing to stay with him, he must be okay, despite everything we see. So he can take his seat among the elders of the land at the city gate. Now, where the city gate situation here, in most of the communities, that's where the legal proceedings would take place. And as you read the history throughout the scripture, if somebody wanted to claim a piece of land or wanted to have a dispute with a neighbor, they would go to the city gate and let the people sitting at the city gate, these are the city leaders, they would get to work that out. It's like they're the council and the judges and all of that. And so because this man has a wife that makes him look good, he can sit at the city gate and make decisions and help others. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. So she's even doing commerce and selling things. And, you know, it sounds like she could do just about anything. She is clothed with strength and dignity. Yeah, she's got fine garments and she looks good and all that kind of stuff, but that's not where her beauty comes from. She's got strength, she's got dignity. And she can laugh at the days to come. She's like, she's happy knowing that there's not a big concern about the future. It's all going to work out because she's worked hard and she's prepared. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Because of her life and the way she lives, people listen to her. And they can learn from her because she doesn't give bad advice. She's waiting and speaking what she knows and speaking from experience and speaking wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. Instruction that you can trust. Instruction that's going to work. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I love that turn of words there. It's kind of a fun phrase. How many of us eat the bread of idleness? Hopefully not always. I think if you make that a life habit, it's a problem. Unfortunately, we've got a generation coming up that seemed to think, you know, well, 26, 27 years old, I think mom and dad can still take care of me. Yeah, they've got a room. Let's hang out in the basement. I've got video games to play. Don't have time for a job. Eating the bread of idleness. We can find all kinds of excuses to do that. And I think too often we find ways to just think, okay, well, somebody else will take care of that. This woman saw the needy, saw the poor, took care of her household, took care of her family, even taking care of others by making things to be sold for commerce. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So she even has a great reputation in her own family. You know, some people can put on airs and they can do pretty good publicly. And then you find out from the family, it's like, oh yeah, but you know, mom's not the same at home as she is when she's at the clubs or at church or on the council or wherever else she's working. You know, mom comes home and she's an entirely different person. But the children are rising up and calling her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Here's one of the praises quoted. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Yeah, you're the best of the best. Thank you, Kathy. Oh. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Who's sitting at the city gate is her husband. And as people come there to see the husband and have cases worked on, they're going to be saying, yeah, but your wife took care of my family when we needed help. She was there for us when we were hungry. She makes really good product that's worth wearing. And so the husband gets to hear all the good reports of the wife when people come where he is. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. That's the kind of submission I think that Scripture's talking about. It's not saying you're less than, you're to just obey orders. It's nothing like that at all. In fact, if anything, you know, us, when we get to the husband's part, we've got a lot more responsibility. But the wives that place themselves in a position to defend and care for their family members, individuals that submit and deploy themselves for the good of their community, the good of their church, the good of their family, that's what submission's all about. Like we talked about last week, submission isn't a bad word. It's been broken and misused like a lot of other words have been. Desire, sweetness. You know, sweet used to be a little bit more accepted. I think the way we're so spoiled. I mean, how many of us get too many sweets? So that when we see something sweet, it's like blasé and commonplace because that's what we always have. Whether it's a sweet relationship or a sweet spirit, a sweet donut, we're spoiled. But wives, specifically today, next week, you know, maybe we'll switch gears a little bit. But this submission isn't because your husband's better than you. If anything, you've brought the husband good reputation by the way that you've lived your life. Jerry, I think you could say that about Andrea. Yeah. That was a lady that people loved to be around, and they liked Jerry too. It's like, okay, Jerry's cool, but part of what drew them to Jerry and to even get to know him in the first place was Andrea.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we all know that. I mean, you know, and I'm not to put you down in any way, Jerry. I love being around you. But you know what? You were a good unit, and things worked well when we were together.
Oh, yeah.
I know you miss her.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. She made you a better man. And that's what submitting does.
I don't know if she made it or not, but she tried.
You're better for having known her and spent that time you spent with her.
Yeah.
And I hope that we can all say that about our spouses. Even when things don't work out. We grow and we learn. And we become better people. because of whatever experiences we go through. Even if the experience is negative, we can grow from that. God turns all things together for good. Because if we're called to be followers of Christ, we're called to build up the community, we're called to be encouragers, we're called to love. Thank you, Jesus.